Did you have enough time to digest that Dave Collin podcast? I gave you like 7 days. Everybody was like, why are you taking so long off? Because the Collin podcasts, especially ones that are 2.5 hours, you need some time to digest before you move on from them. But we're moving on today, folks. You know why? Because we got motherfucking Sang Lucci in the house. What's up, fools? This is the QTR podcast. It is, what day of the week is it? Who cares? I'm happy to be here with you. It's the 10th of December, 2019. See, I have my shit together. I know what day it is, and I know what time it is, and I don't know much more than that. What I do know is that this podcast is brought to you by my patrons. First and foremost, I have to say, if you are a patron, thank you so much for your support of the podcast. My patrons are what keeps the show going. It's that simple. I'm going to shout out some of the people supporting the podcast, and then I'm going to get on to the actual podcast. First and foremost, let me talk about my brother Pete over at thetraderspath.com. I have known Pete now for the better part of almost 6 months. We're going on 6 months chilling with Pete. Pete started his own day trading service because he got tired of all the bullshit and nonsense from the other daily day trading services that people are trying to sell you. They do all kinds of nefarious shit. I don't want to name names. I don't want to name practices. But Pete said, I'm doing my own thing and I'm going to create a service that is made for day traders only, and it is friendly to the investor. Instead of trying to bend them over and gouge them not only for money but also front run their trades, Pete said, fuck it, I'm not doing it. So he started thetraderspath.com, which is a great place to find all different types of things for day traders. You can find investor education, you can find investor advocacy, you can find daily watch lists. So Pete and his crew are going to post what they're looking at every day pre-market. They have an ongoing live stream that takes place all day where traders on his service get together and exchange ideas and information. And they trade in any kind of market. So Pete and his crew trade in green markets, red markets. They trade stocks. They trade options. The only thing they don't bother with is low float garbage and promotional stuff. But Pete and his crew have a really solid setup and are guys that I would definitely recommend checking out if you are a day trader and looking for a place for some camaraderie and a place for ideas and a place for education. So check out Pete over at The Trader's Path. The link to his service is in my podcast description. This podcast also brought to you by my kind friends over at Rumor Hound, who have been supporting the podcast now for almost 7 months, and I appreciate you guys very much. Not only do I appreciate the support, but I appreciate the service that Rumor Hound has. If you don't know about RumorHound.ai, it is a piece of artificial intelligence-based software that is going to evaluate all of the merger and acquisition rumors that you see come across the wires on a daily basis. So you can see them in your newsfeed, you can see them on Twitter, you see them come across CNBC. If you're a day trader, you know that merger and acquisition rumors pretty much happen on a daily basis. So what is the service that RumorHound offers? They offer a proprietary algorithm using artificial intelligence that takes a look at these rumors. It identifies them. It identifies the parties potentially involved. It looks at their, you know, credibility of the sources. It looks at the financial wherewithal of the companies. And it spits out an easy-to-read recommendation for you, the trader, as to whether or not the rumor may be something that you might want to pay attention to or maybe something that you may want to disregard. So it helps you. It's a great tool to just kind of help you in your daily decision-making. It's affordable, and they will offer you a free trial if you use the podcast link in my description. So if you want to try it without committing, you're more than welcome to do that. Check them out at RumorHound on Twitter and RumorHound.ai. The link is in the podcast description. This podcast also brought to you by my friends at Corvus Gold, my friend Monero, Jay Mintzmyer, high-quality shipping analyst, and all-around damn good guy. Not anywhere in the world I bump into this guy where he doesn't buy me a beer. So thanks, Jay Mintzmyer. My buddy, Russ Valenti. My good friend on the left coast, Nicholas Parks. My friend, Nathan Michaud, over at Investors Underground and Traders for a Cause. Chris Bede, Ken R., Chris Boas, Ken, Mr. J.K. Cunningham, Stank Love is still in the house, Brainerd Ferguson still in the house. Who else? Matt Merrill, what's up, homie? Jameson Trinker and Sam Pearson, my brother. And I want to shout out some of my newest patrons, and we're going to get this goddamn show on the road. First and foremost, I want to shout out Shvedi McDangley Balzac von Kaushik Seivelhofen, who recently edited his pledge, but stayed on as a patron, which I appreciate. Plus, I just wanted to say her name. P. Peter Theodorius, thank you so much for your continued support, my brother. Andrew Plotnikov, thank you for becoming a patron, my friend. Ryan Chapman, Steve King, and Jeff Barnes. And get Andrew Yang on the podcast, still supporting me. And I'm still working on that. Man, I got a couple of good podcasts lined up. Let me just shout out a couple of my patrons that have been with me for a while, like Lisa Hyatt. I still see you, and I appreciate your support very much. William Davis and Andrew Marsh, thank you for your continued support, my friend. Also, Brian Halloway and Art Spurl, Peter Schwartz, Scott Corsi, I see you on Instagram, my brother. Harrison and Ned DeLorme, thank you. Voltiface Investments and the Flow Algo team still on with me, which I appreciate, along with my kind friend Austin Winrow and Adam Pedraza. Thank you, my friend, and Nathan Master. Okay, what is going on? If you're new to the podcast, here's the rules. Number one, 2-drink minimum. It's happy hour anyways. The work day's over. You should be taking 2 to the face anyways. If you're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9 or more drinks in already while listening to this, you may have questions. Chris, did I do it wrong? Am I participating incorrectly? The answer is fuck no. You're doing what I like to call extra credit, and we encourage that. Remember in Office Space? He's like, Brian's wearing the minimum is 5 pieces of flair, but Brian has on 15 pieces and an incredible smile. And we encourage that. All right. Finally, this podcast is not investment advice. I hold no licenses, no registrations. I'm not a financial advisor. I am the furthest thing from a financial professional possible. And having said that, finally, do your damn research elsewhere. Do your research elsewhere, fools. This podcast is not any kind of advice at all. With all that happy horse shit being said, I have longtime supporter of the podcast and general supporter of me as a human being on the line, my brother, Mr. Sanglucci. What's going on, sir?
Nothing much. Just enjoying beautiful Puerto Rico with all the internet outages that I get on a daily basis.
Yeah, well, people listening don't know this is like the fourth time now we tried to get this shit going today. But I think we got it now. I think we're good now.
Indeed. I got to get battery backups for everything, man. That's what I need.
Do you?
Yeah, man.
How are you going to run a trading office? I saw your photos of your new office and all the shit that you're buying. How are you going to run that when the internet goes down every 15 seconds?
So there's some weird things that happen. So for as far as like buildings that are getting put up, some of them are electrically speaking, some of them are wired a little bit differently, and that's where some of the issues are. So for example, like my building, Anytime the power goes out, it goes out twice in about 5 or 10 minutes. And then the restaurant across the street, they have clean power and they never go down. So where my office is, which ironically is right across the street from where I live, I don't have these same issues. So it's a building issue. It's not an actual power issue.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's what it is.
So your building sucks.
My building in particular, yes. It was sold to us as such a dream with pools and such a community. But meanwhile, they can't get their shit together.
They can't keep the fucking power on.
They can't keep the damn power on. You know?
Well, I saw the photos of you setting up the office, man, and it looks it looks beautiful. I mean, it looks like you got a nice big open space. And what the hell are you guys actually going to be doing there? I mean, I know you're going to have your own trading station and you'll run Sanglucci and the steam room from there, right? But you seem like you got a lot of office space. So what are you going to put in all that space?
Yeah. So, you know, we realized like through Sanglucci and through the community that we've been able to create, and as well as on Twitter as well, with the different kind of content that I've been putting out on Instagram, we've realized that traders, you know, they need a lot of other guidance as far as life is concerned, right? So if we get beyond trading, right, you take what is the characteristic that we usually see with most traders? So let's say they're making money. What are the characteristics that we usually see with those traders, right? I mean, most of them, they live a life of pretty materialistic kind of things, right? I mean, we could say a large percentage of them, do that as well. The ones that don't, we never really hear from them. You know, you don't hear from them at all. So what we realized was that traders beyond making money, the ones that do make money, you know, they're looking for the next step. They're looking for more purpose in life. They're looking for, hey, I got all this money, but I'm still a piece of shit, and I have no idea what I'm doing in my life, even though I got a couple million bucks or I got, you know, I got whatever I want. So we're realizing we're starting to move into a world where we're going to start to talk about some of those issues, you know, and one of those things is being, you know, being kind of community driven as well. So one thing that I wanted to do in Puerto Rico was that there's so many freaking traders down here, man, but nobody talks to each other and they sit in their freaking houses all day for 24 hours a day. They never leave the crib. They never do anything. They never go. They never talk to people. And it's like, okay, you live in a country where you ain't got to pay no taxes. You got enough money that it doesn't even matter what you do anymore, but you're lonely as shit. You don't talk to anybody and people can't stand being around you. You know,
you live on the beach and you're surrounded by Puerto Rican women.
Exactly. You know, so
you might want to fucking leave the house once in a while. I mean, I'm not sure where that qualifies in the canon of life advice that you're looking for. You may want to pick your shit up, catch a shower, catch a clean shave, put the fucking fedora on, button up the Hawaiian shirt, and step out the fucking front door and go order a rum somewhere that's outside instead of sitting in front of your six computer screens getting your suntan that way.
Exactly. Now, you missed one thing. You said button up your shirt. Now, the key word here is unbutton that motherfucking shirt.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
You got to go
only three buttons up. You know what I mean? That's it. Don't go any higher than three buttons up. You know, keep that chest out, man.
That's my style. That's how I don't like
so
too
that's
many
what
buttons
we're
up top. You know, the closer you get up to the neck, you start to feel, I feel like somebody's choking me. When I'm wearing a tie, when I'm wearing a button-up shirt, even when I wear a regular t-shirt, I wear a lot of v-necks. I feel like shit's too constricted. I hate getting dressed up, man.
I think the whole world knows. I think the whole world knows at this point. I mean, pictures of you scouring the internet at all these high hobnobby ass conferences, and you the only one in there that does the speech in a damn tank top and some shorts and flip flops.
Well,
meanwhile, everybody else got on suits.
It's like I said during that speech. I'm like, you know, it's 85 fucking degrees out and sunny in Las Vegas. Like, you people are the maniacs for walking in here with shirts and ties and suits. I mean, guys are in there in three-piece suits. I'm like, we're in the middle of the fucking desert. Are you kidding me? And people are looking at me like I'm the asshole because I'm in there wearing a fucking tank top and a pair of shorts. I'm like, have you stepped outside? What do you think I've been doing all day? Sitting around waiting to go on stage? Fuck no. I'm at the pool. I'm having drinks. You know, I'm trying to mingle in the Vegas lifestyle. Like I said during that presentation, right before I went on, the guy that was arranging the thing for Stansberry, nice guy, Lucci, right? Like, super nice guy. But, you know, day of the event, little high strung. You know, I really didn't know what to do when I showed up like that. He offered me his suit coat. He said, "You want my jacket?" I was like, "No, I don't want your fucking jacket." The only thing that would look stupider than me going out in a tank top and shorts would be a tank top and shorts in this guy's, you know, Louis Vuitton blazer, which would be like hanging off of me. That'll change the perceptions about me. I'll look like a fucking homeless person that just grabbed random stuff out of a dumpster. But you did your shit in a t-shirt too, didn't you?
Of course. Well, I had a little fly jacket on. No, you know, I had a nice little, you know, I had a nice little pop to it.
You did it in a t-shirt. And your t-shirt said Lucci Meats on the front of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. That definitely may have happened, bro. Indeed.
So, yeah, well, that's all right. I mean, you're one of those guys that wears the shirt of the band you're going to see.
Of course. Yeah. Yes, I would do that. I would totally do that. I've been to a Deftones concert with the Deftones shirt on. I've definitely been to a Metallica concert with the Metallica shirt on. You know, so I've definitely been there.
I feel like bands are okay. You know, some bands wear their own t-shirts on stage. I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. That's you know, if you've made it and you got your own shit and you're playing in front of a crowd.
I'm waiting for the QTR merch, bro. I'm waiting for that merch.
It's on. You got to just check the link in my podcast description. I got a whole store.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Full of
oh,
shit. Yeah, man. Oh. I got markets getting asshole mugs. I have shirts that say I am not a financial advisor on them. I got all kinds of shit on the merch. You know, my thing is I don't like to go on and be like, hey, buy my fucking t-shirts, you know?
Cause yeah, no, of course,
I don't really
of
give
course,
a fuck.
I don't do that.
T-shirt.
We don't do that shit.
No. The only reason I started a merch store is because I got a listener who's this really cool kid, Luke. Well, he's a man. He's not a kid, but... And he makes these fucking incredible designs, and he's been hounding me for a while. Dude, you got to do t-shirts, you got to do this, you got to do that. I was like, hey, man, all right, here's the deal. I said, set everything up and do everything, and we'll split it down the middle, and then, you know, whatever. So he starts sending me designs, and I'm like, oh, this shit is fucking dope. So there is a QTR merch store. I just don't hawk it because I don't really care about merch, you know?
No doubt.
So anyways, what's going on? You know, you have been a longtime supporter of the podcast. You are a friend of mine also, too. I always say that in the introduction. Just so happens that you also support the podcast, which, by the way, we all appreciate. Everybody give Lucci a round of applause. But I didn't do your sponsorship shit in the beginning because I figure we got however long we want to talk about what's new in your life.
Sure.
So what's new with Sang Lucci, and what the fuck do you guys do over there all day, man? What's going on?
Yeah, man. Yeah, and it's changing. Shit is changing. Shit changes all the time. Me and Charlie, as you know, my partner in crime, his name is Charlie Bathgate. Chris had him on the podcast. I think it was earlier, but you know, a couple of months ago, even. And you guys were talking about that podcast. By the way, was great. I enjoyed listening to that one.
I did too.
Very much so as well. Like Charlie is into a lot of other things, and he's definitely going back to school as well. You know, to learn more things about the freaking mind and behavior and all that kind of stuff. So you know, you and I, we love that kind of shit. You know what I mean? And having him kind of bring that world into Sang Lucci is kind of bringing us into some new places and some new sort of uncharted territory. So we know we represent this big community here. We have these two brands, Sang Lucci and Wall Street Jesus, but we kind of want to create a higher arcing, you know, trading kind of brand that we haven't figured out what it is yet. But all these mistakes and all this shit that I'm doing down in Puerto Rico is going to help me kind of get there. So that's kind of why I made this big ass office here. And this is going to be kind of like a think tank. This is going to be a think tank for so many, not only just trades, but just kind of learning more about the mindset of traders, what they need, who they are, you know, and how to cater to this particular community. It might come out as a brokerage, you know, it might come out as a higher level a prop firm kind of thing. It might come out, you know, in so many different ways. It might come out into, you know, doing ayahuasca for traders and being that kind of, having that kind of world where we help a lot of these traders out from the mental side of things and help them sort of find themselves instead of defining themselves with the money, which is something that most traders do, you know, currently, and they have to kind of get to a point where they realize more about themselves. They can kind of step out of the box here, and that's usually when their trading gets to where they fucking want it to be, you know, which is the ironic point. So we're kind of thinking about all these kind of things and trying to figure out where we're going to pivot here for the next, you know, 5-10 years. I mean, Wall Street Jesus is great. These brands are working. They do well, but we also evolve as well, and we kind of want to bring that into the picture. Yo, there's like maybe about 7 traders in my room that are now moving to Puerto Rico, bro. That are literally now moving to Puerto Rico. I linked them up with lawyers. I linked them up with places for them to stay. You know, you name it, man. Even my damn intern is moving down here, bro. You know what I'm saying? So there's some things that are going on.
What does your intern do?
My intern answers emails. He deals with customer service. He deals with traders that are fucking difficult to deal with. You know, when they have issues with their freaking subscriptions, well, they want to talk shit or whatever. Having a nervous motherfucking breakdown,
just,
which they all do.
Just blew up the account. Yep.
You know, so he'll cater to that kind of thing. You know,
yo, Lucci, can I get this 100 grand back somehow? Yo, exactly. I got a question, Lucci. It's not for me, it's for a friend, but, you know, say I wanted to take $20 and flip that shit 10,000 times into $100,000, and, you know, I needed that by Thursday. How would you do that?
Exactly, man. And we get people telling us their whole life stories, and I understand it. I understand why it's happening, and I understand that they're in positions where, you know, they're pretty fucking vulnerable, you know, and shit's hit the fan or whatever. But, you know, throwing all that in an email is not going to make us all of a sudden have an answer to your problems. I mean, your problems are fucking you. You know what I'm saying? Your problems are because of you. And you know, it's not like somebody can come in and magically get you out of these situations. It's like when I was going down the hole, man, in New York City, right? And I was managing a huge fucking book in New York City. And, you know, there was just so many mental things that were happening to me that I didn't want to reconcile with. You know, I chose, or, you know, and the people around me chose, hey, why don't we try this trading coach out? You know, and I paid this guy $5,000 a month. And in reality, it wasn't him. It was just me. I was just fighting the whole. I wasn't even allowing him to help me. I wasn't even allowing him to do anything for me. You know, so I was just sitting there being like, "Hey, solve it, and let's make sure I'm back to where the fuck I am." But in reality, that's never how the shit works. No, so,
and that's why people that like have addiction problems or go to therapy, they don't get help. They don't help themselves until they just surrender themselves and say, the problem is fucking me. The problem isn't my fucking boss. It's not my parents. It wasn't my upbringing. It wasn't this. It wasn't that. Everybody's got an excuse. Everybody's got a fucking story. The problem is me. Look in the mirror. You're the fucking... And it's everywhere, man. It's in training, right? You got to be accountable to yourself. It's in life with your family and your relationships. You know, you only get out of those relationships what you put into them. Fucking in jujitsu, they got a saying, which is, you know, you're something like, you're never going to fight anybody the way that you fight yourself, or like every match is a fight against yourself. It's not even a fight against the other person. And it's so true, man. Until you get your mental house in order, everything is going to be difficult. You can't have a functional relationship. You can't have an intimate relationship. You can't have a family relationship. Can't run a business well. You can't talk to subordinates and employees well. Comes back down to security and being insecure versus secure, man. And we've covered that ad nauseum, right?
Yeah. So that's kind of what, you know, that's kind of what we're up to down here. I just want to focus more on data, you know, and collecting and gathering more and more and more data, behavioral data that we can use to provide better products to, you know, to our community. So it's basically just a big research farm think tank kind of situation where, by the way, anything that I produce in-house, you know, so there's going to be some badass traders in there. You know, any code that we produce or whatever is IP that I can use, you know, to roll out to a bigger audience, you know. Right. So there's a lot of cool things that I want to work on and I want to spend my time on outside of trading that has to do with the trading community, but I'm not going to be able to do it unless, you know, I really bring all these people to me. So that's kind of, you know, that's kind of what we're doing. And then the outreach part of it, which I haven't even talked about, but I want to start doing, you know, financial literacy programs for the high schools down here in Puerto Rico, like in Spanish, you know, and really just get them out, get them to come to the office, you know, have a nice little conversation with a lot of the younger kids and just teach them about little shit, you know, regarding finance. And then eventually pick up a few of these kids, put them in front of the fucking computer, give them a system to trade and have them write options for me. I mean, it's pretty robotic and it's pretty easy to write options in this particular market at this moment, you know? So giving these people an opportunity, giving these kids an opportunity here to make some freaking money, save their families from, you know, a lot of the shit that they're going through. You know, I think it's worth it for me. It's like, if I'm going to do this and I'm going to be out here making millions of bucks, I got to give something back here, man. I got to turn on that side of it, which of course I've been delaying for a good amount of time.
Yeah, and you know, we've gone through like a decade now of really minimal volatility. I mean, we've had little you know, when Trump was elected, and then when the China A-share market crashed in like 20 2013 or 2014. I can't remember when that was. And then last December. But for those small things, we really the market hasn't been volatile. Like, what do you, as somebody that writes options, I mean, you got to obviously be thinking about when that fucking storm is coming. For a couple of reasons.
Always.
One is it juices the premium, and two, it can put you on your ass if you're writing naked options in either direction. When's that volatility going to come back?
Yes, absolutely. And this is something, and by the way, like I'm very glad you threw that out there, because, you know, for any of the options premium writers, it's like for any trader, there's always that dark thought that you have, like kind of in the back of your mind, whatever it is with your particular strategy, where you know you can blow up in any fucking in any second. You know what I mean? And there's always that fear.
Look at optionsellers.com, right?
Yo, there you go. There you go. I mean, every single what was that chick's name? She was on the Thinkorswim platform. She was like they called her the super trader. What was her name?
Well, she was just committing fraud. She wasn't. You know, she got sued by the SEC. They had her.
I did not know that. Yeah, I thought she was a seller.
They had her on Tasty Trade. Her name was like fucking Karen.
Karen.
I'll find it. Hold on.
Yep. That's what it was.
They called her the super trader. Like anybody fucking ever calls you the super trader, you're full of shit. So this is Karen the super trader, and she said. So this is what Tasty Trade's site says for her introduction, right? In 2007, so it talks about her past. In 2007, Karen, the super trader, resigned from her company and decided to begin trading options full-time, as one does, right? She decided to transfer $100,000 into a brokerage account at Thinkorswim from a savings account managed at Merrill Lynch, which returned her hardly any money. Karen started appreciating quantitative analysis that the Thinkorswim platform offered and started incorporating the statistical probabilities into her investment strategies. In her first year of doing so, she made $50,000 in profits using option strategies such as iron condors and credit spreads. Stay with me for a second, Lucci.
Oh, boy.
Note, the Tasty Trade guys are the guys that invented Thinkorswim. So that's why this fucking success story, they're so happy to tout it, because they're like, look at the amazing software. In 2008... Karen migrated from trading options in individual stocks to trading indices, but always selling premium. Her motto became, once I collect premium, I don't want to give that money back, right? So then it goes on to say, all right, she made fucking millions of dollars, whatever, and turned herself into a millionaire. Right. At the very top now, there's a section that says, the four videos above are of a past Tasty Trade guest, Karen Bruton. We've become aware that she and her firm are currently under SEC investigation for her accounting and reporting practices. Karen is not affiliated with Tasty Trade in any other way other than as a prior guest on our program. So the first thing, it was like, dude, look at how great she's doing on our fucking platform. And now all of a sudden it's like, Karen who? We don't fucking know her. Who said Super Trader? I didn't say Super Trader. Oh, don't mind me. I'm just sitting here in my fucking Kangol hat with the cherry on it. So,
classics.
Yeah, the super classics. Trader. $100,000 into $40 million. Yeah, because that happens, right? Come on. Oh, shit. Hang on. Fucking my phone's blowing up. Sorry.
The answer to your question is, I lost you.
I lost you. I got you back. My podcast technologically sound that I got a phone call in the middle of talking to you, and it just cut away from everything. I don't have a professional setup. That's WhatsApp.
Bro, that is WhatsApp, and WhatsApp blows up your spot, man. So let's say you're on the phone, right? Let's say this is what happened to me. I remember going out on a date, and I remember driving home. She wanted to tell me she had such a great time. I'm on the phone with my daughter, actually, on the way home. She calls me, and WhatsApp tells her that I'm on another call.
Right.
And then the next morning, she was like, oh, what, she was on the phone with this other chick or whatever. And I'm like, dude, WhatsApp, you just fucking blew me up right here, man. And she didn't want to believe nothing, man. She thought I was on the phone with somebody else. Like, who you on the phone with at 12 o'clock, man? So WhatsApp, you know, don't trust WhatsApp, man. WhatsApp wants to blow up your freaking spot. Anyway, So back to selling premium. It's like, no matter what strategy you have this kind of impending doom, fear kind of situation that is happening in your brain the whole time, especially if you have a system that just kind of cranks out that, you know, that just kind of cranks out cash.
Right.
So for any option seller, if you got all this risk out here and then all of a sudden tomorrow, you know, there's something that happens online. What's going to, or there's something that happens overnight. Let's say it's Trump or let's say it's whoever, you know, and futures are down freaking 50 handles. What are you going to do? How are you going to protect yourself? And the answer to this question is literally always. So you have to sacrifice some of your upside to buy some catastrophe protection.
Right.
You always have to buy some catastrophe protection. That way, you know, let's say you got a book or, you know, let's say you got a big book overnight, which usually you're going to have, you know, that way, anytime some crazy catastrophe happens, you know, some dime, some nickel options that you can get, you know, those things will protect you a good amount, you know, that way you won't go down in fucking flames, man.
Right.
But like you said, just what happened to option seller. I mean, he was on cruise control for years, man. And then all of a sudden, you know, this big shit happens in oil.
He wasn't. I mean, that's it. That's the gist of it, right? I mean, it's like this woman said, that they're touting this strategy like it makes sense. Once I collect premium, I don't want to give that money back. Yeah, well, sometimes it's too fucking bad. You're giving it back with major interest. It's nice that you don't want to give the... Did I lose you again? What's going on?
No. I'm here, bro.
You muted the call, did you?
How do you know that? Do you
because
know that
I
muted the
call? Because it just came up and said, mute. What did you do? Did you have to fart or something?
No, not at all, man. I had my girl call me. You remember Maffer. I had her calling me.
And then
she thinks the same thing.
She thinks you're on with a girl right now.
Who you on the phone with right now? You see what's happening, man? WhatsApp is blowing up our spots out here, man. Fuck WhatsApp.
All right. So this idiot... Oh, sorry, this woman. She said, once I collect premium, I don't want to give that money back. And I was just saying, it's like too bad. Sometimes you're giving that money back, like this dude with the option sellers.
Yep, exactly. So we're scaling out a larger strategy when it comes to writing options. But bro, man, the crypto community down here, believe it or not, I mean, it's as crazy as some of these ideas are and as ridiculous as some of this shit is, the financial products that they're creating in the crypto world, bro, you would literally flip your shit, man, because none of this stuff would exist in the regular SEC FINRA world. None of these products would exist at all, and they're all being kind of created in the crypto space, man. And I can't even explain this in a good way. And maybe on the next podcast, I'll have some better information and everything. But I mean, once you see some of these other products, you wouldn't fucking believe it, man. You wouldn't believe what you could trade, and you wouldn't believe what you could get access to. So I kind of want to dive back into the crypto world and see what edge I can find somewhere.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that next time. I mean, even just in ETFs, man, just over the last couple of years, looking at the amount of ETFs, I mean, there's more ETFs out there than there are individual, you know, company equities. And there's an ETF where, you know, if some guy eats a fucking lima bean in France somewhere, you know, it ticks up or down a penny. It's insane, the shit that they have ETFs for right now.
Yes, exactly. So there's so much more edge out there that I know I can scrape, and I'm going to try to do it in a way that I can just give these strategies to people that, you know, are less fortunate here. Because, bro, I'm at a point, and I think you hit that point as well, where we have enough. You know what I'm saying? We have enough. We don't need – it's not like any – you know, if I give you another $100,000, it ain't going to change your fucking life. If I give you another $1 million, like, it ain't going to change your life. You are who – we know who we are, kind of thing. So it's not like we're out here just
– What? Did I lose you again?
That move us forward.
You gotta get your fucking phone game together, man. You gotta tell everybody in your phone book you're on the Quote the Raven podcast right now. Everything can wait. Everything's gotta wait for another like half hour. That's it. Then you go back to your life. You know, you already blew me off on this podcast once. We were supposed to do this last week. Now I can't even keep you on the goddamn phone. I got the fucking people pinging through. You're going on mute. Jesus. You know, you're starting to degrade me as a human being.
I can't control it. I cannot control it. That's like what I said. It's Facebook.
Oh my god!
It's Facebook,
everybody
man.
Yeah, man. Everybody probably wants some money. Everybody probably was like, yo, you know, Lucha, let me get 20 bucks.
I still get that, man. I still get that. But, yo, now I'm able to graciously say no, you know. But I'm able to graciously say no instead of saying, yo, get the fuck out of here, man.
Right, right.
Get the fuck out of here, you know. So kind of that's where I wanted to end that thought I was having before we got cut off. Like, we know who we are already. Our lives are not going to change with any more money. So, you know, for me now, it's about like, okay, if I'm going to still trade, let me help some other people while I'm doing it.
One of my favorite barbers to go to is in Atlantic City at this little barber shop on Atlantic Ave, right up Florida and Atlantic. It's called Hollywood Barbershop. And okay. There's a guy that and all the guys there are dynamite, man, like dynamite. You know, because Atlantic City is an extraordinarily diverse area. So there's a lot of minorities, you know, in Atlantic City. And so the haircuts have to be on point. You know, it's a huge deal down there. And this barbershop is a couple of, I think they're Vietnamese guys, but it's run by a couple. I think they're Vietnamese. I'm not sure. They may be of another descent. But I'm just thinking about the writing that's on the wall under the English, and I think it's Vietnamese. But a guy named Jimmy that runs the shop, and then there's a guy that cuts hair there named Mr. Lucky, who was this old Italian guy who had his own shop in Atlantic City a long time ago, decades ago. I think he's been cutting hair in Atlantic City for like 50 years or something. And he had his own barbershop at one point called Mr. Lucky's. And everybody there in Atlantic City knows him as Mr. Lucky. People around the city know him. You know, even if they don't go to him to get his hair cut, he's a personality, right? People know of him. For instance, my tattoo artist knew him. When I have a tattoo artist I go to down there, and the first time I started going to him, he said, "What'd you do today?" I said, "Oh, I went and got my hair cut, you know, over at Hollywood." He's like, "God, oh, you see Mr. Lucky?" You know, I said, "Yeah, I saw Mr. Lucky." But anyways, he's got to be in his early 80s now.
Yeah.
And he's off the boat from Italy. I think his real name is Littorio Galluccio.
Nice.
And he's a great fucking barber, and I love going to see him, and I love going to the shop. But every time I'm in that seat, so I see him probably a couple times a year, and I've been going to see him for years now. Every time I'm in that seat, somebody opens that door. It's this tiny-ass little barbershop. Somebody opens that door and says to him, like, "Yo, Mr. Lucky, can I get a cigarette?" You know, and he always walks over to his cigarettes and gives the guy a cigarette. You know, "Hey, Mr. Lucky, can I get $2? You know, and fucking reaches into his pocket, gives the guy $2. He knows everybody that walks in. I've never, for as long as I've been getting my hair cut there, I've never seen him say no to somebody that has walked in and asked for something, which is just awesome. It's one of those things. I never talk about it. I never, like, point it out to him. But I'm always like, it just always puts me in such a good mood. I'm always like, man, what a fucking good guy, man. What a cornerstone of the community. Yeah. And he said to this woman, I was there last weekend. I got my hair cut. And he said to this guy that walked in, or this woman that walked in, she's sitting in the seat by his chair, like the waiting area, for, you know, a half hour. I'm starting to get my hair cut. He's doing a shave. We're all talking. The three of us start talking, you know, about whatever, drinking and smoking and when we pick up bad habits. And, you know, we're having a barbershop conversation. And after the conversation, after about 30 minutes or 35 minutes, you know, she says to him, you know, "Mr. Lucky, I need $2 or something for the bus or whatever the fuck it was." You know, she came in and sat there and had a conversation for a half hour instead of just coming in and saying, you know, "Hey, can I get $2 and then peace out?" And, and he took... He took the money out of his pocket. He had like a wad of singles, and he hands it to her, and he starts counting off. He goes, $1,000, $2,000. He hands her the second dollar. He's like, "There you go," you know. And she's like, "All right, thanks." And she said goodbye and went on her way. But, you know, hey, maybe sometimes somebody asks for a 20, you give it to them. You know, that's the point of that story.
Yeah, man. And it's all walks of life too, man. You can't. You know, you can't. We look down on each other like so much, and I remember, you know, I used to do this all the time. And it's just, and I still do it. You know, the judginess that you know, that comes off when you're all filled with that friggin' ego, man. I'll tell you a story. This cat that I met down here in NPR, Like he runs a video game company. And, you know, he's got this company with maybe 70 employees, and he's trying to get to 100 mil. The guy owns property all over the U.S. and he's talking about paying $25,000 a month for rent, you know, down here in PR. And ironically enough, his girl is a freaking Instagram influencer with 5 million followers on her fucking IG, just getting paid for ads, getting paid for this, getting paid for that, you know, and, you know, it's kind of like that modern. It's kind of like this modern, millennial ass couple. You know, that just right. is killing it. It's killing it on all fronts. But you have a conversation about, you know, let's say the locals here in PR. They have nothing good to say about their experience. You know, dealing with, you know, the locals. You know, here in Puerto Rico. And as I'm sitting there listening to this, it's like, okay, you know, you talk about all these accolades, you talk about all this shit that you got going on. It's fucking amazing what you've been able to build and what you've been able to create, you know, and all this kind of shit. But at the same time, when you talk to somebody who, you know, who you have to do cleaning, let's say at your apartment, and you're kind of talking down to them and all that kind of stuff, you see that a lot, man. You see that a lot. And there's this other side of yourself, or there's this other side that, you know, hopefully one day you start to realize, like, you ain't no different, man. You ain't no different. You know, you're just kind of evolved at a different level. And that's all it is, man.
Or big deal. Yeah, big deal. You got some fucking money, you know, like, and I think part of it, I'm lucky because, you know, I was raised in a working class family and, you know, living in South Philadelphia, living in, you know, certain different neighborhoods, you get accustomed to, you know, working at a working class bar for years, which I did at a working class Irish pub, you know, where during the day, it's the guys that have been coming in having lunch there for 30, 40, 50 years. The guys that, you know, work in the city, you see the same faces. Gives you a vibe for kind of, you know, and I still, those are the kinds of places that I surround myself with. I mean, my regular bar out here I go to is a dumpy little bar, you know, where people are still allowed to smoke. And I mean, I don't even smoke, you know, I go there because I like the people, you know, it's a no bullshit, no pretentiousness atmosphere where fucking everybody right. knows each other. People are going right. to break your balls fucking all the time while you're there. And it's a great vibe. It's just a nice, I don't know, there's a community feeling to it, which is always what I loved about living in the city. And, you know, and, yeah. and just to give you a perfect example of what you're saying, I mean, the people that come into this guy's shop that I have seen come in, Lucci, sometimes guys come in like, hey, you know how a fucking box of fucking t-shirts falls off a truck? You know, guys come in with the most yep. random ass shit to this barbershop.
Yep. I used to be that guy, bro.
I'll be sitting there. I was there fucking like 6 months ago, and dude just came in with like a rack of like fucking JanSport backpacks. And I was just like, the fuck is this guy doing? Like, it's not back to school, you know, like, it's not like, there's no timely, you know, this dude's got a rack of blue JanSport book bags, you know, and he comes in and it's not like, hey, the fuck are you doing? Get that shit out of the shop. Everybody's like, yep. hey, and I remember Mr. Lucky said to him, you know, he said, ah, what are you selling today? You know, what do you got? Ah, book bag. Ah, what do you want? 20? I'll give you 10. You know, we'll take one. We'll find something for yep. it, you know. Yep, shit like that. Yep. But you know, yep. he was a middle-aged white guy. The lady that was there when I was last there was a younger black woman. You know, there's a big Latino population. There's a big yep. Mexican population in Atlantic City. Yep. You know, and then nobody gives a fuck about it there because everybody's in that same fucking grind, man. When you're trying to, yep. you know, when a guy stops in like he did last time I was there trying to figure out where the fucking closest Western Union is. You know, that dude doesn't give a fuck whether or not the advice you give to him comes from a black guy or a white guy or a rich guy or a poor guy. Like, dude needs to pay his fucking energy bill or whatever he's going to Western Union for. Send some money back yeah. home, right? So, it's, yeah. And that vibe is just keeps you yeah. humble. And it's one that, you know, I don't know, man. I've always felt that no matter, I haven't had, like, any type of exceptional monetary success. But, like, I've always felt that, like, even if I did, man, there's not a whole hell of a lot that I would change. I would go to the there same isn't. Bars. I would talk to the same people. I would probably yep. give a little bit more would be the one yep. thing that I wish I could yep. do that I can't yep. do, you know, which yep. is just be a little bit more charitable. But that's it, man. You know, I'm not aspiring to go sit at the fucking Ritz-Carlton, you know, and jerk off all the fucking idiots that go in there or go to some bar in Tribeca so I can hang out with every person that I've tried to avoid my entire life. Like, none of that appeals to me.
Yeah. I used to do all that. I mean, everything that you're talking about, I mean, I used to do. And the crazy part is that, you know, the level of your wants just sort of increases when your environment shows you where you could go. Like, bro, I started out in the questionable, what they would call questionable areas of Massachusetts, selling porno DVDs before they had an online subscription or whatever. You know, I would roll around to everybody on campus and outside of campus, and they knew I'd come around, like, you know, a particular day or whatever, and there'd be a guy that I knew liked Asian girls. There'd be another guy that I knew like videos with black girls, and I'd be like, yo, I got this new one for you. And I'd sell them for $10 a pop. I was selling Crest White strips, man, video games. One of the biggest hustles in this place called Lawrence, Massachusetts, which is like similar to Washington Heights in New York, there's a factory for the Gillette for Gillette over there. So there was boxes and crates of fucking Gillette razors coming off the trucks, and they would just sell them online on eBay, and then, you know, they would, let's say they'll go for like $1 or $2 per razor, you know, they'll go for $4 or something like that on eBay. And it was one of the greatest hustles I had while I was in college, man. Because one of my boys, his father worked at Gillette, and that's where we got the hookup. So we had a fucking pallet of these things, and that's kind of how it happened. And then all of a sudden, fast forward, I'm in New York City. I'm at a bar in Tribeca. I'm talking to the dude next to me. I'm like all egoed out, man. I'm trying to impress everybody. I'm trying to wear all this shit. Like,
did you sell me razors back in college?
You know, I'm trying to do all of that kind of shit. And then sooner or later, you just realize, like, okay, man, all this shit is cool or whatever, but what are we really fucking doing out here, right, man? What are we really doing out here, and what's really going on over here, man? So there's bubbles that still are being created, especially in, you know, in underdeveloped communities or areas or whatever. The bubbles that exist in those areas, places like India, places like Africa, even here in Puerto Rico, I mean, you wouldn't believe it, man. There's one community here in Puerto Rico where the buy-in for anything is nothing less than maybe $2 million, you know, and all of it is right around the Ritz. So they basically built this like 400-500 acre property. Part of it is the Ritz, and then all the rest of it is just houses that you can literally map out. You can literally buy a plot of land for like $2 million, and they'll be like, okay, what do you want? The one floor, you want the two floor, you want a pool, this and that, and then they go build the fucking thing for you. There's a ranch on the property, there's two private schools on the property, and you have these kind of communities that just kind of grow out of nowhere in places like Puerto Rico. And meanwhile, you have this weird divide, which is obvious here, between the locals and these communities, man. Right. So I want to at least do my part, or at least try to connect the two worlds, man, because the further and further we get apart, man, there's no going back, man. There's no going back, man. There's no way to close that gap. There really is no way to close that gap. But at least you can try in different pockets and different communities.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about where, like, in Philadelphia, I've seen that gap close, and I'm struck. I mean, with the, you know what does it, man? Sports events will do it. You know, you can get, you know, one of the things that I loved about Super Bowl Sunday. So every once in a while, maybe twice or three times a year, I'll go down to the city on a weekend, and I will just go out in the morning. You know, 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'll just buy coffee and donuts for people out on the street. No big deal, right? It's it's like a $3 thing to buy a small coffee and one fucking donut. Every once in a while, I'll do that. I'll go down there. Maybe I'm going to spend a Saturday down there, but I'll go down early and I'll just walk. I know three or four different little Dunkin' Donuts where I can go to, and I know where people generally hang out, so I'll go and I'll drop off a little coffee, little donuts, whatever. No big deal. But the point is, I went down on Super Bowl Sunday to do that. I was going to a Super Bowl party when the Eagles were in the Super Bowl. And I'll never forget this day, man, as long as I live. And I went down early. I went down at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning. and start to go through my routine, start hit little Dunkin' Donut shops, start, you know, getting, and the other thing I'll do is I'll stop and I'll talk to people for a while, for 20 minutes a person, 30 minutes a person, whatever, and not just be like, hey, here's a donut, go fuck yourself, you know, I hope you get off the street, you know. I'll talk and I'll listen to the stories. Hey, my dad was in the union, this, that, and the other. I'm a veteran, this, that. Everybody's got a story, right? So that day, one of the things that I remember about the air in the city that day was like everybody was unified, man. The people that were on, you know, the homeless people that I was talking to, the cab drivers that I were talking to, the people working in the Dunkin' Donuts. There's one area where I go to a Starbucks instead of a Dunkin' Donuts. The people that were in that Starbucks that I was talking to, the people that were on the train down to the city, the guys working on the fucking train, you know, everybody, every single person was like unified. They're like, oh shit, you know, there was something bigger than like all of our differences taking place that day.
Yes,
and I've remarked about this story many times to my friends. If I have friends that are listening to this podcast, they're going to know the story. I don't think I've ever mentioned it on the podcast, but that Super Bowl Sunday, that was fucking awesome, man. That was just like, that was something that unified everybody. And that's really, that's the last time I can think of something bridging the gap, you know, the last time I can remember that.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's not that many examples or there's not that many places where it happens. And you know where it happens, though, and this is the unfortunate thing, is the chaos, man. That's when the chaos theory comes back. It's like when, you know, people have had enough or the shit just kind of results in, you know, this wild thing happening. But then even that creates a lot of fear, too. I mean, look at what's happening in South America right now, in Chile, in freaking Colombia, in Bolivia, you know, in Peru. Like all of these things are like small things that are happening. To give an example, like in Ecuador, the president raised the bus fare. And then all of a sudden, like everybody took to the streets because it was just everybody just kind of had enough. And then all of a sudden, you know, all the community, everybody is talking about this situation, but it still kind of creates this divide here where it's like, hey, the ones who have shit, they're just trying to get up more and farther away from it and live in these bubbled ass communities. So they can keep their money and they can, you know, and they can kind of avoid it or sidestep it or whatever. I mean, all the shit that's happening in Hong Kong and everything. It's unfortunate that's those events.
Hong Kong is a great example, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you want to talk about people being unified. You got students, you have the upper class, you have the lower class. I mean, man, sometimes problems hit some kind of escape velocity, man, where it's like fucking all hands on deck. And it doesn't matter what your government has now, right? The people are going to be heard.
Exactly. And those are beautiful things. And I think, you know, those things were meant to happen. That's why I always, to anybody who's asking this question, I tell them, hey, listen, you know, it's the chaos theory. You know, it's like nobody, everybody knows of something or is conscious of something, but they'll never bring it out to light until chaos hits the fan or some form of trauma or some form of whatever it is kind of bubbles up and blows up in your face.
I think that'll happen the next time we have a market crash. And actually, Dave Collum was talking about this too, because he was saying, you know, the fact that nobody really was ever held accountable for 2008 is not going to resonate well with people the next time we have a major financial disaster. And I don't know, man. I don't want to incite a riot, but I mean, that could be the point where people say, hey, man, we're getting gamed here. We're getting conned. And we need some kind of change, right?
Yeah. It's crazy, though, how long it takes, man. It's crazy, though, the cycles and how long it takes. Like, the individual, I feel, can move a little bit quicker. But the herd and a whole country of people and a whole freaking universe and the whole world, like, it's taken so much time. But if you look at it in the big context of things, you know, we're only, 2020 years after the freaking year zero or whatever. So it really isn't that much time when you look at it that way. But shit, I mean, if we're talking about it in the context of this lifetime that we have, You know, and that's, bro, by the way, like, this is kind of where my conversations are going. They're going very far out there. They're going very far as like what the world is going to look like 100 years from now. Like, what is the meaning of life? Like, what is the reason why I'm fucking here? And this is where most of my conversations are directed now, man. Besides the trivial materialistic, like, hey, I can pull 200,000 on this Shopify right now, baby. I can pull $500,000 on this freaking Roku short. Let's go. You know, I hate talking about that shit now, bro.
It's like, look, we're so engrossed in the day to day. We have no clue, man. And we're talking about a 10-year bull market cycle like it's some big deal. Right.
Right.
I mean, how long has the Earth been around? 5 billion years, you know? And this is just, I used to worry all the time. That an asteroid was eventually going to hit the Earth. And because, you know, hey, the Earth is out there floating in the middle of the solar system, which is in the middle of the universe. There's all this shit going on out there we don't know about, right? But there is this torrid meteor stream, and, you know, there's all kinds of shit flying around out there. And every once in a while, something happens and we have an event like they had in Russia some years back, where some fucking thing just decides it's time to crack through the atmosphere and plow into a forest at 89 trillion miles an hour and release, you know, the energy of 15 nuclear bombs or whatever. Certainly, we didn't have it on that scale, but that's what's possible. But, like, the one thing that gives me some ease is that, hey, like, the rest of the universe is playing on a very long time scale. You know, like, if it hasn't happened in the last however many thousands of years, like, the chances it's going to happen in my 60, 70, 80-year life, you know, are very small. If it does at that point, then you just got to throw your hands up and be like, hey, man, it's time for us to go, you know? I mean, even if the catastrophism pseudoscientists are right, there's a group of guys that think something hit the Earth 12,000 years ago. I mean, even then, you know, you're talking 12,000 years. So we're having a good run. You know, you think the bull market's having a good run here. We're 11 years into a bull market. Think about the planet. Hasn't been hit by anything of any type of material size in at least 12,000 years, right? But I used to worry about that shit all the time. Because the way I think, Lucci, is bigger time spans, you know, vaster differences. And conversely, also, you know, smaller time spans and being mindful of the moment too. And it's a huge mindfuck, man. And your perspective on those things dictates how you think about other things. Monetary policy is a perfect example, right? The guy that's thinking about the day to day, the hour to hour, the Monday through Friday, this week, next week, and next month, you know, loves the Keynesian shit. Because it's like, hey, just fix it today and we'll fucking worry about it tomorrow. Or fix it this year, we'll worry about it next year. One of the reasons that I can't help but worry about the system in general, and why I always say, like, hey, Jerome Powell's got a 3-year plan, but does he have a 200-year plan? You know, because that's how I think about that shit.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's so crazy that you're throwing this out there. I just visited this observatory in Puerto Rico. Do you remember GoldenEye? You remember GoldenEye, right?
Of course.
All right. So you remember when Bond is on that crazy contraption in the fucking sky? They had a satellite and shit on there.
Yeah, the skywalk. That's the last level.
I went to that motherfucking place. Went to that place, bro. And I saw it, and I saw how big it was. And basically, like, they collect data from the sky. There's 120 people that work there, maybe about 30 or 40 scientists, and they all have to basically pay, or they get grants to use this satellite, which costs, by the way, it costs about $7,000 an hour. This is what the girl was telling us. It costs $7,000 an hour to do these freaking studies. So you got to have some serious grant money back here. And these are all planetary scientists, astronomers, and all these kind of data scientists that are out there that are collecting information by shooting out, you know, to other satellites or whatever in the solar system, and then collecting that data back. China, by the way, is one of their largest funders. And coincidentally, they tried to build, I guess they tried to build an observatory similar to the one that was here. I guess it's smaller, and then they can only collect data. They can't shoot out any data. So one of the craziest things that I kind of saw or that I heard about while I was there was all the meteors and all the asteroids or whatever that are hurling towards this, the fucking Earth, right? So they're collecting all of this data on the shit that's coming here. And they can, and there was the one of the ladies was telling me, one of the scientists was telling me that in 10 or 15 years or something like that, there's an asteroid that's going to come super, super freaking close to us. Yeah. And it's going to miss us. And she said it with confidence. She's like, no, but it'll miss us. You know, don't worry about it. And then like another 30 or 40 years from now, supposedly there's one that's on a collision course with us, but apparently, you know, we're gonna try to shoot it out with a fucking laser and then see what else happens. And literally I'm having normal conversations with all of these scientists that are talking about solar winds and all this kind of shit.
Yeah,
and meanwhile I'm looking at him like, yeah, I trade fucking Roku.
Right. 40 years we got something that's fucking coming directly at your face. You know what I mean? The astral trajectory has pointed it directly towards Puerto Rico in 40 years. You're like, how do I get another 10 grand out of these Roku calls? It's like, bitch, you're going to need a lot more than $10,000, motherfucker, to solve your problems in 40 years. You better hope some people smarter than you are on some fucking Adderall right now trying to figure that shit out.
Dude, I lost my mind, man. I lost my mind. So we go to the beach after, and I'm just sitting there.
What was the name of the observatory?
Okay, it's called Arecibo Observatory. So A-R-E-C-I-B-O. You can go ahead and just look it up, and then you'll have a whole about me page.
Oh, there
page,
it is.
All
yeah,
of their brands
it looks like
or
the
everything.
It looks like the antenna cradle in the sky, just like at the end.
That's
of
what
it
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
When you chase
so
down,
I literally
you chase down Trevelyan.
Yeah, I tried to bribe them. I was like, yo, let me give you $1,000. Let me get the fuck up there.
Right.
And they were like, no. You know, supposedly the energy that it takes, you know, to do all these kind of things. And supposedly there was a guy that fell off. There's a net. There's
man,
a net
yep.
that's like under there. Supposedly there's a guy that fell off. But luckily the net, I guess, caught him. But the net wasn't even designed for that. But there was so much cool shit, you know, that I saw over there and talking to all the scientists and everything. And I'm really at the beach after. I'm really just kind of looking at the water and just being like, what the fuck does trading even mean? Like,
right.
Well, okay, fine. You have this shit. And that's when like shit just kind of dawns on you. It's like, okay, what are we really doing out here? What are we going to do?
You're going to be able to reason with the asteroid, you know, on its way to your face and be like, yo, man, hold up. I bought them for one and I sold them for two. Can I get a do-over?
You know,
it's not happening.
Yeah, man. So, you know, that's kind of where I was. So now it's like, okay, you know, what can I give back here, and what can I do while I know that every day, literally, I could just die, I could blow up, and you know, and my pointless drivel for the last 10 years or 15 years is going to be pointless anyway. You know,
it doesn't even have to be an asteroid, too. I mean, the fucked up thing is when you start thinking about, I mean, you know what the craziest feeling is, man? When you're having a dream and you wake up and you can't believe you were dreaming because you were like, fuck, that was so real, you know? And there's nothing that can, I am absolutely convinced that at any second we could wake up right now and be completely different people somewhere else and be like, oh, that shit was all a dream. I was a fucking trader guy. I was doing a podcast and maybe we won't even remember like where we lived or any other shit like that, but we'll be like, man, I was doing something. And you wake up, and, you know, you're fucking some, you know, kid trying to scrounge for food in Rwanda. I mean, you can be a completely different person, right? Like, and not only that, but when you think about things on, like, an astral level, right? It doesn't, you don't need an asteroid to fucking take you out, man. At any second of any day, at any given time, like right now, it could all just end. You wouldn't feel it. You wouldn't see it. You wouldn't know anything about it. You know what I mean? Some guy fucking leans the wrong way on his remote control in some other universe as he's falling asleep on his couch fucking eating Doritos and watching Netflix. And that dude lands on the wrong molecule the wrong way. Bang! It's over for us. No warning, no explanation, no nothing. Everything we've ever conceived of, gone. And it can happen like that. Today, tomorrow, whatever. So it's like, shit, man. What are we doing right now? We're breathing. We're talking to each other. Like, we better get after it immediately, man. And I don't give a fuck what it is that you do, but get after it now.
Get after it. I mean, you know, and you can have this existential crisis with yourself all day. But at some point, you're going to have to just wake up and be like, all right, this day is here. This time is here. I could sit here and fucking think about it, or I could go out there and do some shit. Those are the only two motherfucking options. So, and you're going to have to get to the point where it's like, all right, let's go do some shit. The rest of everybody is stuck in depression. They're stuck in, you know, too much thinking. They're stuck in all that kind of other shit. And you know, you got a choice. You either fall into the trap or just get the fuck up and go do something, man. And it's an everyday struggle, man. So that's what it is, man. So I got to do more, man. You and, you know, guys like you and me, we got to do more. We got to get out there and we just got to do more, because what the fuck else are we gonna do?
Well, and that's something that you either don't understand because you don't have the capacity to understand it, which is fine. True. No problem. You get up every day, you go to work, you do your thing, and life is what it is to you, and that's cool. And there's, you know, it's not a bad thing and it's not a good thing. You just,
yep,
it's not there. You know, you just don't have the capacity in the head. There's people that, yep, understand it, that get it and can see things on a little bit of a broader perspective. And that can go one of two ways. Like you're saying, man, you can just sit there and fucking obsess about it and yep, allow it to make you miserable and fuck your life up and have you make all the wrong choices, which is, you know, something I dealt with for years. You know,
you and it's like, both,
on
you
the
and both.
You know, on the broader scheme of things, like, why should I pay the Verizon bill? You know, and any second, fucking, you know, some guy puts ketchup on his hot dog, and this whole thing's toast, and then I'm out of paying the bill, but unfortunately, I'm dead at that point. You know, yep, and you can let that just kind of like ruin your psyche. The key, yep, is, like we've talked about, like I talk about with Charlie, the key is to give up, to surrender,
yep,
and just
surrender.
Say, It is what it is, man. What is there to be scared? What are you afraid of? You afraid of death? Everybody's going to die. You know, you afraid of being broke? Well, you can't lose yourself, yep, if you don't have any money. There's some things, yep, that people can't take from you, you know? And
and the one thing that I'm trying to you know, you get to this place and you kind of alluded to it. You were like, hey, if you're not there, you know, it's okay. You're going to do what you currently are doing and everything. And everybody's on different paths. You know, everybody, you can't force somebody to be on the path that you are on, which leads to the over judging and all the discrepancies and all the freaking, you know, the separation between people. And that's what it is. That's all it is.
Right.
It's just a difference of mentality. And we're all in these different levels, but everybody wants to sit there and judge, and everybody wants to point at each other. And that's it. That's how you want to reconcile with what's happening, instead of just looking at the situation like, okay, this person is on another level, or this person is on a different place. I don't understand what this person has going on, but I can sit there and listen to the opinion. But instead, we just want to fucking point fingers and continue, right, to fucking separate.
Right.
Ourselves,
it's like, how loud is your like reality distortion field that you're applying to your life?
Exactly.
Right. Some people got that distortion fucking turned way up, man. It's like static. You know, people, they just live in the static all the time. They're on the fucking driving. They're out there in the car, motherfucker. You know, fucking red light, son of a bitch, cocksucker next to me. You know, and then there's people that just can figure out a way to just turn the static down, man. With that comes some real immense clarity. Yo, listen, you know what's a cool feeling, man? Some of the things that I love in my life, things that I really, truly love, that I know I'll involve myself in for the rest of my life. Things like running, things like jiu-jitsu, things like, you know, playing chess. They don't require anything. I don't need, yep, money. I don't need a, yep, house. I don't, yep, need fucking, I don't need anything, because all that shit, even if I become a quadriplegic tomorrow, man, nothing's gonna, as long as I have my mind, I can, yep, close my eyes and think about, you know, oh, what positions would I go through from closed, yep, guard? You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
Can I name seven different chokes from sitting here? You know, like, how would I move if this guy opens, you know, if this guy uses the Polish opening? What's my defense going to be? And like, man, it's either all upstairs in your mind or it's not, yep, man. And there's a, yep, clarity and a purity that comes with that. That is, it's really, it's kind of nice, man, when you turn that static,
dude,
down.
Dude, and then to bring it all back to fucking traders, like, I have now been able to kind of go into my community and realize, like, all right, clearly all of these traders are wrestling with this same shit every single day. I mean, you take a $2 million or $5 million trader and you put them next to somebody who makes what? You know, nothing or hasn't made money in the last 5 years. What do they think of each other? The one is fucking worshiping one and the other one wants to just step all over the other one like a motherfucking cockroach, man.
Right.
And meanwhile, we sit here, we're like the worst. We're like the worst community when it comes to, you know, understanding one another. I mean, the $5 million trader, even though he was the fucking nobody that wasn't making any money, he so quickly wants to fucking step on this dude like a damn cockroach, right, and just dismiss this person. Meanwhile, he was this person. You know what I mean? How quickly are we to do that? And I'm seeing it in my own community, like, just so much. That's kind of where I'm at. It's like, okay, you know, get over yourself kind of thing. And I want to be the kind of vessel to move this community forward as far as, you know, that one particular concept, but, you know, so many other little things. And I think I can do that through building, you know, a stronger community and just showing, you know, how much better your life will be as a trader with money, and you're giving back, you're talking to people, you know, you're not hoarding your freaking money, you're not doing all these kind of things that create the separation and cause it to keep growing. So I might as well start with that community and then see where it goes from there, man.
Yeah, and one of the nice things that I see is, you know, I see groups of guys excuse me, like us that are traders that are like-minded, you know, guys like Nate that runs Traders for a Cause, and Ryan Open Outcrier, and
yeah,
Russ Valenti, and these guys, and I see them all kind of getting together now. You know, Ryan sent me Open Outcrier sent me a picture the other day,
yeah,
of him and Russ out to dinner, and I nice. Know that you were up chilling with Nate for a little while up in Boston.
Hell yeah.
It's cool that there is a little bit of a community forming, because now we see each other at the same events. We see each other at the same conferences. Every one of us is somewhere around the globe that's close to one of the other people every once in a while. And and we're kind of making a little community amongst ourselves. And tell you what, the guys that participate in Traders for a Cause are top-notch guys, man. And they are really committed to giving back. They're guys that have kind of done well. Many of them have done extremely well.
Yep.
But they're committed to giving back, and it's a really cool thing. It's a really cool community that those guys have created, and that's why I love kind of getting everybody together in October for that conference. I think it's really cool.
And I want to do more of that all the time. Like for example, like you're one of us that we go to these events or whatever. Like generally speaking, we're very hesitant to go out with some of the people that we meet at the events. Why? Because we know the conversations that we're going to have are about what? They're about fucking nothing. They're about fucking, you know, they're always about trading. They're always about this kind of money. When at some point you got to realize, like, that's not you. We're not meeting you. So I know by going to this event, I'm just meeting a bunch of people who have projected themselves as X, Y, and Z. I'm not trying to meet the projection, man. I don't want to go to dinner with the motherfucking projection, you know, right, unless I'm out there scrambling, you know, I'm out there with my tin cup and I need to raise $10 million for a freaking fund. And even then, I don't like to do that shit, man. I mean, you said it yourself. You ain't out there selling that merch. You ain't out there fucking, you know, putting your name out there and marketing aggressively like that, because at some point, man, that shit gets old. You can see right fucking through it,
right?
And I want to know the person behind all that shit. Like, okay, right, you're out here hustling, you're out here trading, okay, what are you doing this shit for? Who are you, man? What are you really about, man? With you, I'll go to fucking, dude, we'd be doing everything together, man. Shit. You know what I mean? And it's that kind of relationship I'm looking for.
Well, and that's why it's nice that we, you know, for instance, when you were in Vegas, I mean, we hung out at the pool that one day. I mean, like, we get along, you know, like we just get along as, you know, human beings, you know.
Exactly.
And I'm not sitting there next to you at the pool cabana putting down Coronas going, hey, what do you think about this call spread? You know what I mean? Like, because that's not, you know, hey, man, you got to turn that shit off. You really do. And I'm a firm believer in that. You know, there's a time for work and I hustle, man. And trust me, I grind and I hustle.
Right.
I'm up 5 a.m., 6 a.m. every day to at least 5-6 every night, and then I'm going to jujitsu, or I'm going to, you know, I'm going running or whatever, and that's it. 9:30, I eat my burrito and I go to bed, and that's a wrap for the day. But I mean, I stay hustling all the time, and you got to realize that there is, and this is one of the things I had to learn, man. You have to turn it off at some point. You got to leave the phone inside at some point and go into the gym for 2.5 hours and, you know, remind yourself. That's why I love jiu-jitsu. Again, I mean, you know, anytime you're being strangled, the last thing you're thinking about is, well, I wonder if I have any email, you know? Like,
I got to respond back to that YouTube comment. Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this guy said he didn't like me. Oh, God. I'm like, no, fuck this. I'm trying not to die, man. I got to get the fuck out from underneath this 300-pound motherfucker that's sitting on my face. Oh, man. I got bigger problems to deal with right now. But, yeah, when we go out like we did in Vegas, man, we chill and we talk about life. And, you know, even like your buddy Lennox that came through that one day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I know I thought that you guys had known each other. I thought you guys were like boys going back, you know, a long time because he just came through. He posted up at our little cabana. Chilled out. We had some drinks. He wasn't fucking, you know, hey, man, like, oh, what do you, you know, what do you do? What's your option strategy? What's this? What's that, man? Yo, he posted up. He had a couple of drinks. We talked about women. We talked about cigars. We talked about the pool. We talked about Vegas. Talked about where he's traveling, where he wants to go, where we want to go. You know what I mean? And that's the important shit. That's the important shit, man. You know, take your 8 hours a day. Take your 8 hours a day to talk about the VIX. And, you know, the Greeks, you know, how the Greeks make up an option. But then, you know, shut that shit off at some point.
Yeah, yeah. And it's ironic you say that. The guy who created the actual product, the VIX product, or who did the math behind it or whatever, he was part of, I mean, he was part of the group that did it. Like, he also lives here in Puerto Rico. You know what I mean? Like, you'll get that class of person here. And by the way, when they do their events or whatever, you go in there, and just like you showing up to one of these places in a tank top, and everybody else is in a suit, that's what you'll see. You know, you'll see a lot of that down here, man. And I can't, you know me, man. I can't do that shit, man. I can't have those kind of conversations all the time like that, man. If I'm out. I'm out, man. Let's, you know, let me enjoy my freaking life without having to talk about fucking financial bullshit and all this kind of stuff. And I think that's another reason why I wanted to create this community down here and start in Puerto Rico. So if this shit works, I'm going to plop it in every major city, man. And we're just going to be out in Singapore. We're going to be out in Africa. We're going to be out in India because there's traders everywhere. There's traders all over the motherfucking world trading Forex, trading this, trading that, you know, and we are all, and everybody defines themselves with the money, no matter what currency we're talking about. Right. And everybody's looking at it for the escape. And at some point, all of those people are going to hit a place where they're like, wow, we have all this money and we have no idea who the fuck we are.
Right.
So there you go, man. That's the whole plan right there, man.
And you don't even have to be a millionaire to reach that point, man. You hit a point where you got a little bit of money in the bank, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm not walking a fucking Pathmark to pay down portions of my cable bill at a time at the customer service desk because you know, I'm trying to get out of being 1 month behind. Instead of, you know, just bring the bill current enough so that they keep the shit on instead of turning off, you know, all the cable. When that's not a worry anymore and you know you can make rent, you know you can, you know, they're not going to turn off the power. They're not going to turn off the water. And you can kind of at least just have a little bit of money in the bank.
Yep.
You know, even then you reach a point where you're like, oh, all right, cool. Like, I have a different level of comfort now. But you still have days where no matter how much money you wake up, you're like, oh, man, I'm fucking depressed today. Like, well, what's the problem? Man, I feel like shit. You know what I mean? You log into the account. You look at the number on the screen. You're like, well, that's not fucking helping. You know, that doesn't mean shit to me right now. You know, I would give it all to just fucking, you know, meet the right person or whatever, you know? And so everybody kind of hits those points at certain points. I think it's relative probably to what you were used to having versus what you currently have. But
It's
a nice wake up call. It helps. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just much. It's much more it just means a lot more to me to connect with somebody on that level. You know what I mean? It just I care more, you know, when I hear those kind of conversations, you know what I mean? And I'm involved and I'm more present when I'm having those kind of conversations versus the normal fucking, hey, what's the hottest shit here? You know, right. Who got squeezed out of the latest freaking penny stock short?
And there's a super dehumanizing element to trading in and of itself, because you're not, you know, I'm not walking over to Lucci's house, fucking knock on your door, and be like, yo, brother, I bid $14.50 for those shares of IntelSat you got, and you'd be like, how are you today? The weather's pretty good. I was offering $14.65, but why don't you come into the house and we'll have a glass of lemonade? We'll talk about it for 7 hours, and maybe we'll get something done. That's not how trading works. Like, bang, transaction's done. There wasn't a human on either side of it. You know what I mean? And that's it. Now on to the fucking next thing, and it's that 72 million times per nanosecond now. So it's this extremely dehumanizing thing, and that's that. You know, that's what's cool about going to these conferences and connecting with people like your buddy Lennox. You know, is you're meeting people and you're putting the faces to the names and the Twitter's Twitter's another one, man. You know, I look at Twitter, I see, oh, I got 69,000 followers. All right, whatever. You know, and then you start to get. Well, you know, I don't care about that, but like, then you start to get emails and shit like that. Oh, one time you said this one thing on one tweet somewhere, and I'm like, shit, man, I guess people are reading all this shit.
Yes.
And you start thinking, like, man, there's 69,000. Maybe some of them are bots. Just say there's 10,000. There's 10,000 fucking people, all of whom have a story and a house and a mother and a father and a. Yes. Some of them have kids and some of them
these
have.
These are real lives.
Like, oh, my
God. These are real lives.
And you just see, you know, at Mike 206342, and you're just like, well, that's a bot. And you get a message from it. It's like, nah, dude, I was actually in Vegas. I was the guy wearing the red sneakers. And I'm like, wow, you're an egg on Twitter, and you got zero followers, and you follow 34 people. There's a fucking human being behind this screen. Yes. That's wild.
And I think that's a beautiful thing, man. I think that's one of the craziest parts, but it takes so long to get to that place because you're so consumed with whatever it is that you consume with. But most traders, it's just money. So, you know, realize, like, these people are real. There's whole lives. There's whole other lives attached to all this kind of stuff. And the stories, by the way, the stories, man, the pure stories of some of the traders that I've been meeting, you know, just because I've been able to connect with them on a level that other people can't, the stories that come out of it, the bankruptcies, the relationship problems, the fucking, you know, all the other ideas, the depression, the fucking, you know, not having absolutely anything and sleeping on the fucking street and then coming back and making millions of dollars. Those stories, bro, they're fucking insane, man. They're insane. And nobody shows them to the level that they should be. You know, we represent such a huge community out here, and nobody's out there telling our stories. You know, you got the CNBCs, they might pull on one thing, but it's always about success. It's never about, like, hey, you know, I fucking lost everything I had sleeping on the goddamn street, found a way to make it back,
right?
You know, and found a way to go, all this kind of stuff. Like, those stories to me, I want to put those stories out there. Like, I want a freaking Netflix show that has just a series, 6 seasons of just stories about guys like us, you know, guys at all different levels of the game.
And that's the interesting dynamic, right? Is like, I, you know, 15 years ago, I was trying to flip 500 into 1,000, you know, and like, that would have been huge. Yep. And I remember thinking to myself, like, man, if I had $1,000 in the bank, I would be chilling, you know? And then it's like 5 years later, you're like $1,000 and then shit, like, I'm looking for that five figures, and you're looking for the six figures, you know, and then you're looking for the seven figures. And everybody's on that same grind, just all different fucking layers of the onion, man.
Shit.
You know what I mean?
Same,
like, these dudes in my gym that I talk to that are grinding, they're grinding for fucking a couple $100, you know? A guy comes up to me and says, hey, I got 10 shares of something that, you know, I go home and I got 1,500 of them, you know, and it's not even a big position for me. And there's people that would look at my portfolio and say, man, you know, you only got 100 shares of that? You know, I'm sitting on a fucking 10,000 lot. Get on my level. Right?
Yep.
So it's all relative.
The Forex right now in every other country besides the U.S. We're talking about Mexico. We're talking about freaking Colombia. We're talking about, you know, countries in Africa. Like, these are people where the average wage on the day is, let's say, $8 a fucking day. It's $8 a day. Meanwhile, they're on meanwhile, they're trading Forex with a $200 account, trying to freaking scrape together whatever the hell it was, or you know, trying to scrape together extra cash. Those stories, even, like, I want those stories. I want to talk to those people,
right?
You know, and just collect all this information, collect all these stories.
Because you know, there's some great trader. You know, there's some great traders. There's some genius in India that's crushing it. You know, but he's making 82 cents a day. But he's up 2,500% on the year, right?
Exactly. Like, I want to find those people, man. I want to talk to those people. I think that'll make for a really cool story, and I can travel the world while I'm freaking doing it, man. I might as well just bring all these people to me some way, somehow, and find a way to showcase it for the world to see, man. So that's the kind of wave that I'm on right now, man. And I figure if the more systems I can create as far as trading, it will help me fund all of these enterprises here. Right. It'll help me fund all of this content, and it'll help me, you know, help other people as well. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. Because shit, another $1 million, it ain't gonna change you, my life, my, you know, your life. It's not gonna.
You can flip the script, man, and take your fucking, you know, whatever you got, a couple million, and go down to Costa Rica, and all of a sudden you're the big baller, man. You're worth $40 million down there, or whatever. You go to India. Sure. You'd be living in the fucking palace in Bombay, you know?
Like, yep.
But I was watching this video the other night of this guy who travels around the world. I forget his name on YouTube, but man, I wish I knew it off the top of my head. It's a really interesting video. British guy who goes to travels around the world and goes to all these different places that are not tourist destinations. He went to India. And he was trying to find some, I forget what it was called, some Indian liquor. Daru Dhabi or something. I forget what the fuck it's called. He's walking around.
Okay.
So he's like, I'm going to go to the shittiest part of Daru Dhali, I think. I can't remember. Okay. So he's like, I'm going to go to like one of the slums, one of the worst parts of India. And he goes and he brings his camera. He's walking around and he's like, Desi Dali, I think it's called. Something like that. Man, it's going to fucking annoy me. Hold on. Let me just look it up. Hold on.
Indian. Do you know what part of India it is? I'm wondering if it's in.
I think it's Desi Dali. Desi Daru? Daru. That's it. Desi Daru.
Desi Daru.
Yeah,
okay.
Desi Daru. Okay. So he's. Oh, and this is the guy's. This is the guy's page. Harold Baldr. Baldr. And he's walking around and he's just chatting it up with the locals, man. And, you know, he's a white guy walking through the slums of India. You see people kind of staring at him. But he builds a rapport with some people until, like, some guy lets him into his house. And he's showing him the photographs on his wall of his grandparents and of his children. And, you know, they got nothing. They got a little CRT 10-inch TV in the corner and a, you know, a cot that they sleep on and no windows and no doors and... You know, and this going back to your conversation earlier about like how these little micro economies in these areas thrive. Yep. There's spots where people are just selling socks, and that's just what a guy sells fucking two of them a day. That's a day.
Yep.
You know, where the women are getting together trying to sell chai tea. Where you know, it's just I forget how I got on this, but what we were talking about. But it was just it was fascinating to watch. And it just shows you, you know, that there's shit going on in these areas that nobody goes to. That's microcosms of what goes on, you know, where I live, and what goes on in bigger places than where I live, in New York and in London. You know, it's the same shit, man. It's people trying to turn a buck, and you got the same kind of people that can probably grind. Like, you got some kid out there right now in some fucking Indian slum that can turn finding a fucking, you know, a coat button on the street somewhere into like three bags of rice. You know what I mean? For the next month.
Yeah.
Like, what can that motherfucker do if he gets his hand on, you know, some equity options, right?
Like, exactly. Like,
what's
I
going,
find
how is that dude's
cats.
Brain functioning? Right. Like he could, you know, with the right training could be the best grandmaster in the history of chess. It's just like, dude just has no fucking idea what chess is, you know? Like,
You know, so I would love, I want those stories now. You know, I'm after those kind of stories now. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, all right, well, listen, man, listen, I appreciate you taking your time today for me, brother. I know you got a busy schedule, but what I'd like to do really is I'd like to link back up after the new year and after the holiday and touch a little bit more on all that crypto shit that you were talking about. So do me a favor, take some time, figure out what's going on down there in the crypto world, put together a plan of how Lucci's going to get involved in it, and come back on the podcast and talk with me about it and let me know what's going on.
Will do. Will do. Will do. I'll have a lot of updates for you because that office is going to be packed. I mean, shit, I'll throw other versions of those parties we used to throw back in New York. You know? I got a little rooftop on that same in that same office. So I'm going to throw some events over there. You know, and get some mixers going on. Get some girls in there, of course.
I'm going to come visit you and my buddy Graham Jervis on Twitter. Yeah. I don't know if you follow him, but Graham Jervis is in, I think he's in Kingston. He's somewhere in Jamaica. But I keep telling him, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get down there and see you one of these days. So I'm going to hit you and Jervis in the same trip, man. Have myself a little island adventure. Yeah, boy.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. Sounds good, brother. I'll see you when you get down.
Yo, and I never thanked you for picking up that tab at the Cabana Bar, even though I've mentioned it on the podcast like a bunch of times, man. You came through in a big way. What happened? You were feeling good that day, huh?
Yo, you know what? I mean, it's just the mood sometimes. It's the vibe sometimes. You know, you're out with people that you know you never really see. You never get to, you know, you never get to hang out with. And I'll do it every once in a while, and I will enjoy. I never thought about it, you know, after that moment. You only think about those things if you're forcing it. You know what I'm saying? You only think about that dinner tab that you had to pick up if you were trying to make an impression. You know what I'm saying? And you didn't get, because you were expecting something to come out of it, right? You were expecting maybe to close a deal. You were expecting to score with that girl that you spent all that money on. You were expecting, you know, to get more respect from all these friends because, you know, you were doing an X, Y, and Z. That's why, you know, we always used to do that shit before. I remember picking the tab up at a club, you know, just because you want to go home with that girl or whatever, and you're trying to facilitate this fun thing or whatever, and that just ain't it.
You've already struck out, man. And even if you get the girl home, you're going to realize somewhere down the line that you were still the loser in that equation.
You were still the motherfucking loser.
But what I'll tell you is that, you know, picking that up, and I had, you know, I was sitting there with cash. I actually tried to hand you cash. I tried to hand you $1,000 in cash.
I remember
that day. And I was like, here you go, take this $1,000. We'll figure everything, because I know there was a minimum at that fucking thing, which was like, you know, whatever, $2,500. And I was like, all right, you know, remember I came down, and as soon as I heard that, I was like, I got to go up to the room real quick. I was like, I'm not even, because I didn't want to show up and not have the means to fucking like pay
for
anything.
Of course.
So I went upstairs, I took a dime, I came back down, whatever, and I tried to give it to you, and you were like, nah, we'll figure it out later, whatever. And I was like, all right. And then at the end, I offered again, and you were like, yeah, don't worry about it. But what I'll tell you is it made an impact on me, man, because that meant more to me from a monetary perspective, you know, than it meant for you, right? So to fork over $1,000 for me is a little bit more than forking over $1,000 for you. I think financially you're far more well off than I am, right? So that, you know, you're saying don't think about it, but like conversely, man, you know, you don't think about the impact that might have. And I wanted to actually like genuinely let you know that I was appreciative of that. And
no doubt.
And I appreciate your continued support, man. It means a lot to me. And
no doubt.
I'm glad we found each other out there in the fucking crazy world, man.
Always, man. I have a feeling you and I still have a lot more to do together as well. So
I have that
we'll
same
see
feeling.
How. Yeah, we'll see how all that shakes out, you know, over the next couple of years, man.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, listen, man, anytime we're at any fast food restaurant, McDonald's, Burger King, you name it, man, you know that tab's on me. No questions asked, man. I can walk in there and just give me one of everything, man. I'll buy the bar up.
No doubt, baby. No doubt.
It's just a little bit tougher at the fucking Wynn Cabana Bar pool, man. So, all right, Lucci, come back in January, all right, brother?
Will do.
All right, man, we'll talk soon.
Latest.
See ya. That was the one and only Sanglucci. My brother, my brethren, all around good guy. Man, I got some great podcasts coming up. I know I say it at the end of every podcast, but I got a couple of big ones I'm working on and going through the booking process now, and things just look fantastic. I fucking love talking to Lucci. If you are interested in more what he does, check out his links and his Twitter. They're all in my podcast description. Again, one more time, thank you so much to my patrons for the continued support. And I hope you guys had a laugh with us today. But for right now, I got shit to do. It's 5:30. And it's time, like I said, to turn the shit off and call it a day. So that's it. Gotta go get the exercise. Gotta go get the endorphins worked up. Think about life from a different perspective other than the one right now, which is sitting behind three bright white computer screens while everything else outside and inside my house is completely dark. Fuck that. Peace.